thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
So this morning, before we jump into the message, we need to, of course, do our declaration. But before we really kind of go through that, I want to tell you a little preface story. So some of you may or may not know, you've heard Pastor Rife say some of this, but that we actually go to the same barber. I came on staff, and shortly after, he was like, man, I'm fed up with my barber. Like, they just weren't doing him right. And I was like, hey, I got this little hole-in-the-wall place that I go to. They treat me right. Just try it out. And so we've had a chance to build relationship with this guy. He knew I was a pastor, so, you know, I didn't get the secrecy that Pastor Rife gets going in there, like, dodging some stuff, but we've been able to build relationship with him and make those positive contacts, those impacts in his life. Normally, I'll just talk to him about video games, whatever it is that I know that I can connect with him about. But this past week when I went to get a haircut, it was just like there was something different. We got to have some conversations that were in that spiritual realm. You know what I'm saying? About like I've been building this relationship. I hadn't talked about Jesus. I hadn't been talking about the church. None of that stuff. Just we're talking about like silly things, sports, we're talking about video games, we're talking about, you know, just life, and then the opportunity began to arise. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about legacy and we talk about our vision and our motto for this year. So let's say it. Say it with me. God created me for community. Every contact has the potential for positive impact. It has the potential, but it's up to you whether or not it is put into place. That's what it's all about. So we're jumping right into legacy part two here. You know, whenever we were thinking about this, you know, I come up with a lot of our rally stuff. Kind of been handed that as I moved into this position. And I was like, man, I'm just feeling from the Lord. There's something about legacy. Something about that, like, building upon something that's come before. And I've heard messages, I've heard all these different things, and really kind of what was on my heart was the side of like, and you, if you've been in Rally as one of our volunteers, you've seen some of this. Underneath the slides of mine, it says the family business. Because that's what it is. We're in the family business. And we're making a life that matters. So last week, I'm actually getting ahead of myself, so because y'all need to know this, because you need to find it, because if you're like me, it takes you a minute to find things in the Bible sometimes. That's why I do electronic. I'm just like, doo-doo-doo, it's there. I ain't got to, like, try and look by them. Because I'm singing the children's church song if I'm finding stuff in my Bible. I don't know if y'all grew up like that, but I'm like, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You know, I'm singing the song. So if you want to go ahead and find today's text, that's where it's going to be, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Then we're going to hit a couple verses and then jump right on over to 29. But Pastor Rife did a great job of defining legacy. We're defining that word so that we're all on the same page, right? Like, you ever been in a meeting or in a group and where you're discussing something and you're like, I'm not following, I'm not tracking? So like, we got to make sure we're on the same page. Especially, this is my worst problem. I'll be in a group with people that are all working somewhere or they all do the same thing and they're all using three-letter acronyms for everything in the world. Yeah. And you're like, the PPO, the ZMGA, of the SKO, we need that ASAP of the DDY. And I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, sometimes we need a little like help. Like, can we stop? What is that? Okay, so here it is. Here was the definition. Legacy is the lasting impact of a particular past events or actions of a person's life on another. You're impacting people. That's right. Sound familiar? Yeah. Right? We're taking those past events and their actions and we're affecting another person's life. We're constantly doing this, whether we realize it or not. We tell this to children, but so many times we forget it as adults. We're like, you need to make sure you're doing good because other people are watching you. You know, I tell that to my older kid all the time. Like, you've got to be the example to little Maverick. He's watching you, Rowan. But then I forget it on my own life sometimes. I'm like, nobody's paying me no attention. I can do what I want. I can, you know, it's all right. Like, we're making those lasting impacts. The key thing that Pastor Rife talked about last week was legacies are left to guide the way for future generations. Like, there's always going to be another future generation, right? Until the day that the Lord comes back and all that stuff. Like, there's always another generation coming and coming and coming, you know? Like, I'm what everybody wants to blame in the church. I'm the millennial generation. But I hate to tell you, we done way past the millennial generation. If we're still stuck on the millennial generation, we're two generations behind. Like, we have got to be leaving that guide, leaving the step process, the formats, the foundations, the principal ways for them to go if we're going to lead future generations. So you're like, okay, that's great. That's wonderful. So here's my question for you today. If you don't get anything else, I want to make sure we get the answer to this question today. How do you create a legacy? Because we all want to leave a legacy. Like, I've never met anybody that's like, man, I don't want to leave a legacy. I want to be forgotten. I just want to pass into the sands of time and no one remember me. No one is, like, we're born with an innate something inside of us. Like, I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact. I want people to remember me. Something about that. Like, there's a desire for that. But how do we create that legacy? And I'm not talking about on the physical side of it. Because I can tell you how to do that. Okay? If you really want to leave a legacy of money, just cheat your way to the top, because it works that way. Come on. I've seen it work, okay? But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a spiritual legacy, which is the most important thing. I'm trying to leave a spiritual legacy for the people that I mentor and my children to grow into. And if I fail at that, then everything else that I have, all the other accolades, all the other trophies, they mean nothing. Because here's the thing. I grew up and I had an academic mind. My mom used to get so mad at me. She'd be like, where's your papers from school? I found them in the trash, my little awards. And she's like, why'd you throw these away? It says you're a perfect student and you got an A on your test. And I'm like, Mom, they don't mean anything to me. Because I didn't have to try for them. And so I was like, that's meaningless to me because I didn't put effort into it. Wow. Now, the things that I did put effort in, I might have been like the C student on that, but I was like, I was proud of that C. Come on, you know? Man. I was like, I had to try for this. I exerted myself. I did something worth it. And that's what it is when you're leaving a legacy. You're like, man, I've exhausted all I am into this. I'm giving it as much as I can. Now, obviously, this is just my thought process. Y'all ever have streams of consciousness in your brain? Yes. Like, my thing is like, hey, we talking about legacy? We about to jump on the faith train. Like, we about to talk about the greats. Like, oh, we about to turn to Hebrews. Come on now. We got to get the book of faith out. We got to talk about the greats, the Abrahams and the Davids and the... We're going to talk about some of those, okay? So, like me, I'm a history kind of buff, not as much as my wife. She likes some weird history. I'm a wartime history person, typically, and a biblical history person. She's into some of those other details. I'm like, I don't care about the frou-frou flowers built in France in 1512. Okay, the Palace of Versailles, it don't interest me. You know? You go for that. But there's people in biblical history, and I mean that more than outside of the Bible, okay, yeah. That are like the greats of the faith. Like C.S. Lewis, George Mueller, Billy Graham, Smith Wigglesworth, A.W. Tozier, Mother Teresa, Joan of Arc. Like, these are the people that are like, man, if you read something like, these people stood up on their faith, they made great world change, like, they left a legacy. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, man, I want to be like that. Like, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be like, I'm just a little mamby-pantsy Christian. You know? I got enough of those, and I've seen enough of those. I don't want to be that. See, all of these great people of faith, they left a legacy that we talk about. So it begs that question, how do I create that legacy? How am I going to do it? So let's look at the Bible, because that's probably a good place to start. We're in church. It's what we like to base things off of, right? Okay, just making sure y'all are all, you know, tracking with me here in church. So Psalm 78. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children. Now, anytime I read something like in the Bible like this, I'm like, so there must be a reciprocal. You know what a reciprocal is? Yeah. The opposite, right? So there must be some people that are hiding the truths from their children. Hopefully that ain't you. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave the instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born, and by them in turn, will teach their own children. Talking about generational legacy here. Like, we're going to continue to pass this down generation upon generation upon generation. Like, I don't need to just leave a legacy for Rowan and Maverick. I need a generation legacy that's going to outlast them. So that if the Lord tarries, then it's the next one and the next one. So that I'm not like some of the books of Israel and Judges. Ooh, man, you start reading that stuff, and it's like, and the next generation was wicked and they fell away. Because they weren't spreading the truth. They weren't completely enamoring their children with it. They weren't like, this is the most important thing. This is it. Like, they did some extreme stuff. Like, kudos to Alan. Okay, kudos. He knows more stuff about Judaism and some of that stuff than I really care to know. I'm going to be honest. Okay? Like, he starts telling me some stuff, and I'm like, hey, man, I went to Bible school, and I don't know that. But there's some other stuff I do know, and I'm like, they did some crazy stuff to make sure that their children knew. Like, they're tying some tassels around their wrists, and they're putting it on their head. Like, I got a tattoo on my left arm, but I don't have a tassel tied around my head just flopping around for everybody to, like, that's distracting to me. But people will guarantee ask you about it. Like, they were leaving a mark, so much so that they went, come on. Their children, sometimes this is how they taught them the Jewish alphabet. They would coat some letters in honey when they got old enough to eat honey, okay, because you got to wait a while. I found that out when I had kids, okay? And they would coat them, and then they would begin to teach them the scriptures and let them know that the sweet morsels, that the words of God were sweet. They would relate that to a physical thing that was the spiritual. Why do we so many times take things of God and we're like, well, that's for the adults. I can't teach my children that yet. Now, there's some things, I get it, okay? There's some things, it's like, hey, there's some, you read the scripture, there's some X-rated stuff in there sometimes. Like, I'm just being serious. But it's like, we've got to raise our kids with the truths and the memories and the knowledge and constantly be flowing in it. So they're like, Mom and Dad, I remember, like, I'm going through this now, and I remember when Mom and Dad had this. They did this. They ran to the church. They ran to the prayer closet. They ran to the Lord. They were teaching the next generation. So let's back up to that initial scripture, okay? Actually, let's read the second part of this. It's that each generation should set its own new hope on God. Each generation has to make its own decision, right? Like, you can do as much as you can, but I cannot change your free will. Not forgetting the glorious miracles and obeying the commands, then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Some of you need to hear this part, because you can be a generation changer. It don't matter what mama and daddy did. It don't matter what grandpa was like. Too long have we bought into the lies, well, my grandpa was an alcoholic and my dad was an alcoholic, or whatever it may be that you're trying to identify with, and instead saying, nah. I've received new salvation. I got a new name. I got a new blessing. I got a new thing. I am a new thing, and I'm going to flow in it. That's what we got to pass on to the next generation. So moving on to those verses, read 1 Chronicles 28. Hopefully you got it in your Bible. If you got it, say amen. All right. It says, David summoned all the officials of Israel to Jerusalem, the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions, the other generals and captains, the overseers of the royal property and livestock, the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the other brave warriors in the kingdom. David rose to his feet and said, my brothers and my people, it was my desire to build the temple where the Ark of the Lord's covenant is. God's footstool could permanently rest there. I made necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, you must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and you have shed much blood. Wow. You ever had something you really wanted to do for the Lord? Wow. And the Lord's like, that's great, that's awesome. You're not the man. You're not the woman. Like, I want to leave a legacy, God. I want to be a world changer. I want to do this. And God's like, yeah, that's not you. Stay in your lane. It's a tough word to hear. Like, we're talking about legacy. Shouldn't, if I want to leave a legacy and I want to do great things, shouldn't God be like, yeah, go do it? Not no, 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 sit in your corner. Like, I'm being real. Like, this is things that we struggle with as Christians. And if you're not, then you ain't been praying long enough. Because there's been a lot of times I'm like, Lord, I'm about to do this. And the Lord's like, sit down, boy. I don't know if he talks to you like that, but he spanks me. Okay? I lived in a house where they spanked you. And if you was really bad, they put a whooping on you. You know? I'm just saying. But so many times we have to know what legacy we're supposed to leave. Are we the one to build the temple? We're launching DKA. The Lord has told Destiny, the vision of this church, hey, we're going to launch this at this season at this time. Okay? So that's the mode we're in. We're not in the other mode of the preparation stage anymore. We've been preparing for this in the spiritual and some financial ways, in the building process and all these different things. Now we've got a tight-knit little timeline coming up for some stuff. But the Lord's like, okay, now you are the ones. Because I guarantee you, there was people that have been a part of this church, some of you still here, who've been hearing that probably in the background of launching this daycare for years. I came in and it's like, hey, yeah, we're launching a daycare. I'm like, okay, let's go. You know? Like, I didn't get a bunch of forewarning like some of you. I just got to be the yes man. Jump on a train, here we go. Yip, yip. You know? Like, it's what it is. So read the second part. We're going to jump over to 29, 1 through 5. It says, then King David turned to the entire assembly. So they're at this place. He's recognized, hey, I've done all the preparations. I'm about to leave all this stuff to build the temple. He says, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. Pause right there. You ever just been young and dumb? I used to think I knew everything under the sun. And I had to realize I was young and dumb. Still there somewhat, okay? Only going to be 36 this year, so I'm still wet behind the ears a little. But we have to realize where we're at. What's the stage we're at? What is the Lord telling us? Let's keep reading there. It says, the work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Pause right there. Now, just on those two verses we read right there, think about this. It's not by mistake that King David's like, hey, let's just call everybody so we can anoint Solomon as the king. He's telling them, my son right here, God recognizes him as the next king. God recognizes him as the person who's going to build the temple, but he cannot do it alone.
Come on, man.
He needs your help. And I've set up a legacy, not just of resources of monetary to build it. I've set up a resource of advisors, of council members, of people who know how to do these things. You need those people if you're going to leave a legacy. We'll get into that in a minute. See where I'm at. It says, using every resource at my command, I've gathered as much as I could for the building of my temple. Now there is gold enough, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. His own private storehouse, he's emptying too. This wasn't like, hey, yeah, I got an LLC over here, and that business is going to give to you. He's like, no, that's great that we've done the preparations on that side, but it hasn't really cost me as much as this over here, which is near and dear to my heart. Wow. When you make personal sacrifices, your heart buys in to the next generation for leaving a legacy. You want to know how I know so whether someone really buys in to whether they believe in a youth department or a children's department? Is they're willing to buy into it somehow, some way, whether that's volunteering, spending money, bringing a bag of candy for an Easter event, something. That tells me they're willing to buy in for the legacy of the next generation. They're willing to personally say, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm 65 years old. I don't need a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups. But the kids back there enjoy it. Now, I just eat all the Reese's peanut butter cups because they're my favorite. And then I buy something else for them. Going to be real. Just saying. Like, I got to buy twice as much candy when I go to the store because I know who I am. I'm going to eat it all. That's the reason I'm getting fatter, y'all. I'm telling y'all, my kids got too much candy. It's like everything, they keep getting more and more. Okay? So he's buying in right here. David's saying, I'm buying in. I'm giving a legacy to you that I'm personally willing to buy into. That it's not enough for me to just have prepared this like God said. I want to buy into you, Solomon. I'm personally investing in your life and into the legacy that God's chosen to carry forth through you. So you can go on through there, and it keeps talking about he's going to collect it for the refined silver, 112 tons of gold from Ophir, 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying of the walls, and the gold and the silver for the craftsmen. Now then, though, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord? He asked the question. Don't be afraid to ask the question to those around you. Hey, you see me? Because a lot of us, here's what we want. I want to be the anonymous donor, and there's nothing wrong with that. But take charge and lead by example. Man, guilt some people into giving too. I don't know if we should do that or not, but it sounds like, hey man, you see this? I'm giving 500. What you going to do, huh? Like, be that man who, like, you know, you ever see two dudes that are doing that? They're trying to one up each other. Like, I'm going to do that. Like, I ain't told my wife this yet. We're giving $500 to DKA this afternoon, okay? Because I'm in charge of the budget and we're doing it. So that's what we're doing, okay? Like, if I'm going to tell y'all to give, I'm going to give. Like, I'm not going to tell you to do something I'm not doing. Okay? We have to continue to build the legacy. Here's the thing. Legacy is about people. It's about the people you impact and the influence you leave behind. And that's really a circular thought. Because we had a little change in this, and we were kind of arguing, like, which way should we word this, whatever. And I'm like, it's really circular. It's all about the impact, and it's about the people and the influence. Because the more people I impact, the more those people continue to impact and can continue to influence over and over and over again. See, if I don't have any people that I've left impacted that continue to impact, I've just passed by them. I've been in their sphere of influence. It's like a planet passing by something else. You felt me for a second, a little gravitational pull. But I didn't like bump into you and move you around and impact you. I didn't shake up your very boundaries and say, hey, what are you doing? Like, that's the way that we have to be. That when someone goes, man, like, that rocked my world. Hold on a second. Like, I need to change some stuff. I need to do something. That's what we're called to be as Christians. Now, I might be doing a couple loops around you before I smack you, like I was doing to our barber. You know, I'm circling in your orbit, and I'm like, hold on. We about to find the pinpoint place, and we're going to strike. Like, I'm looking for the vulnerable spots that I can hit you with Jesus. That's how you begin to leave those legacies, is we've got to change people. So let me give you five ways to create legacy. Because I told you, the question today is, how do I create a legacy? So I'm going to give you 5 ways. Now, this isn't the end-all, be-all, but I think they're great steps. Okay, the first one, establish your faith walk. You cannot leave a spiritual legacy if you don't have one yourself. I see this too much. People are like, well, I don't understand why my kid, you know, they're just doing this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, you don't come to church. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't enforce anything. But you drop them off at youth for, you know, an hour and a half once a week, and you expect me to change them. Being honest, okay? Like, I will do my darndest. I will do everything I can to help your student. But if you're not helping, it really doesn't usually have a good effect. It's not very well received. If mama and daddy are telling them the opposite when they get home, you see this in the school systems. You know, we're constantly, well, you don't have to listen to that teacher. And it's gone so far as helicopter parents doing it in college now. I'll go down there and talk to that professor. That's a full-grown man. He's over 18 years old. Get your out of his business. Come on. Maybe, hopefully none of you are like that, okay? But I'm going to be like, get out, you're 18. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I'm going to be like, hey, you dug the hole. It's time for you to figure out how to fill it back in. You know, we've got to let our children build themselves. But first thing is we establish it. We establish it for the next people to come. We establish for generations to come. Here's the thing about a faith walk. It's not good enough just to get saved. That's a starting point. Congratulations, you're not going to hell anymore. So happy. We're great. That's what we celebrated right here this morning. It's like you are dedicating your, you know, saying, hey, Lord, I'm giving it up, salvation, all that stuff. But the true test is whenever we leave. After you've laid it all down. And you say, you know what, Lord, you are Lord. I don't just recognize you in name. I don't just recognize you in the fact that I need spiritual salvation, that I need forgiveness for my sins, that I don't want to live that way anymore, but that I want to change the world and leave a legacy for you. We establish that in every single thing that we do. I don't think it's by mistake that the scripture says, pick up your cross and follow me. That's like me saying, hey, go pick up your electric chair, follow me. Pick up whatever your favorite torture device is and follow me. God, you're kind of crazy. I don't know if I want to do that. That don't sound like too much fun, because it isn't fun some days.
That's right.
Bearing the burdens of others. It's carrying on for others so that you can leave the legacy. The next one, be intentional in who is the next. The next could be the next generation. It could be the next children pastor. It could be the next volunteer in the parking lot. Whatever is that next. You know what I'm saying? Because here's what I see happen too often. People get super spiritual. They learn a whole bunch. They're a great Christian, and they just keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Are you daft? Do we not read the scripture? Have we not seen the Dead Sea? The water flows in and it stops. Guess what happens? Nothing lives there. If you hold it all to yourself, you will begin to rot and decay within. If we're not intentionally seeking out who's the next. Now, does that mean just blind fire, okay? You've got to be intentional. Make sure it's good ground. Now, it might take you some seasons of testing out some different areas of good ground, right? Like, unless you're just really, really good at it, you might not know. And that comes with the maturity of doing it. But be willing to stretch people. Be willing to make sure you see who is the next to leave a legacy to. Like, my first and foremost, no matter how hard I want to not, is going to be my children and my family. Like, I got some hard knocks in my family. Some people that I'm like, I don't even want to have a conversation with them. Okay? But they're the next. Right? But then outside of that, like, the people I serve with, the people I do life with, it's like, that's my next right there. Which one of them is good ground? Where's the opportunities I'm looking for? I told y'all, sometimes I'm just sitting there, I'm just orbiting a person. I'm like, I'm keeping you in my window, okay? I'm like making sure you don't go way off over there. I'm keeping you around, but I'm looking for that opportunity. When is it? When is it? Where is the time when I can get to begin to plug away to start to leave the legacy in them? The right opportunities, the right times. Because here's the thing, you're not going to win a bunch of people to the Lord Jesus by standing on the sidewalk screaming at them about hell and repent.
That's right.
You're going to get some, probably. I don't know what the statistics on that are, and I'm a math person, but I'm assuming it's not very good. But if you build relationship and you stay in those contacts with people for time, and some it's short, some it's longer, some it might take years, then you begin to intentionally seek after it. And they know that you're intentionally doing it. Yeah. People know when you're intentional.
Yeah. That's right.
They can spot a fake a mile away. And if you don't believe me, young people definitely do it. Yeah. They'll call you a poser in a second.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a good term anymore, okay? But they will do it. They'll be like, what are you even talking about? We don't use that word anymore. And I'm like, yeah, I don't use 10th grade language because I'm not a 10th grader, you know? I don't know the new cool slang terms. I don't get behind all that. But I am intentional that I want to help you. I want to change your life. I'm here when you need me. Call me. Be all those things. The third one, aim to build as God desires. Aim. Okay? The usual picture we get for sin is a target. And if you're missing the target, you're sinning, right? So we've got to do the opposite for the next generation for leaving a legacy. We've also got to aim for it, right?
Yeah.
I'm setting my sights on what I want to build. Like, you don't build a house without counting the cost. If you do, you're a fool. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to have a plan. We've got to have a plan if we want to leave a legacy. And don't fail to plan. So many of us, here's what we do. We're like, man, I want to leave a legacy. I want to do this. I want to do that. And we don't build a plan. You're just living on a hope and a prayer. And that's a great song, but it don't do you any good. Like, here's a cliche phrase I hear a lot of time. Well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. Let me tell you something about God's will. This might be a learning experience for some of y'all. Is it God's will that everyone be saved?
Yes.
Is everyone saved?
No.
But it's God's will. Just because it's God's will does not mean it's going to happen. Now, if he wants it to happen, it will, because he can do whatever he wants to. But we have to aim on it, figure out what the cost is, and begin to seek after those things so that we can build up a legacy. We're putting down blocks. We're putting down foundations. We're putting down all these different things. But we got to be willing to adapt and change. We talked in rally this morning about nurturing growth. Okay, so you've established your faith walk. You're being intentional in who's the next. Okay, but then it's like, okay, that's the person that's next. I'm aiming at them. I'm figuring out what they need. But I got to be willing to adapt. Because here's the thing, like, I don't get Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha is some weird creatures. Like, why are you watching another kid play a game instead of playing the game yourself? I don't get that. We didn't do that. But I've got to learn, like, and adapt to that. Like, hey, they might not all raise their hand and say they want to play the game in youth group or children's church. So here's what I got to do now. I got to make it fun and exciting by having my leaders. Like, guess what, leaders? You don't get a choice. You're playing the game so we can build the excitement so then they'll want to play it. See what I'm saying? It used to be when I was in church, if a children's church leader said, hey, we're going to play a game, every hand in the room shot up.
Yeah.
Now they're like, well, I don't know what we're doing. Let's see what you're playing first. I'm like, have we never played tag? Okay. You know, like, we've got to know what we're building and be willing to adapt, be willing to nurture that growth and change so that it will leave a lasting legacy. Because what was done before may have been great, it may have been wonderful, but it may not be a proper application or method for today. It's not meaning that we're changing the truth. The truth is the word of God. The truth is this happened. Jesus came, he died, he rose again. There's certain truths. You know, Pastor Rifle's talking about the flavors in church that we get sometimes, you know, and the doctrines that are different. It's like, no, these are the truths. These are the principles. Now, there might be some different methods in some different churches, right? That's fine. You have your different methodology. You have your different little flavors, okay? I get that, okay? You may like sweet tea, and I may like unsweet tea, but it's still tea. You know, my wife likes, like, flavored fruit teas, and I'm like, that's nasty. Get that out of my house. But we've got to build it in a way such that people can receive it. Because if you're just building it without people in mind of how they're going to receive it, you've built something that's going to fail.
Yeah.
And it may not be what you want. Number four, never leave a man to go it alone.
Amen.
Never leave a man to go it alone. We were talking about that verse a second ago when David calls all the officials, all the people in, and he's like, my son Solomon, he's the one appointed. God has chosen him. And he's telling them in front of the leaders because he's like, y'all, he's going to need your help. We've got to set up a legacy, not just by trying to affect them, not by just trying to be in their orbit, not just trying to build them up, but saying, hey, I've got some people. They're going to be around you. They're going to help you too. Because here's my thing. Every single one of you is accountable for my children because you're my family in Christ. Now, I'm the one first that's responsible because they live in my house. But when they come to this church, guess what? I got a whole bunch of other brothers and sisters that are watching them, leading them, teaching them, rearing them up in Christ. And that's our job.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't leave my children to go it alone. If they're doing something, don't be afraid. You can say, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be doing that, buddy. We're going to go get your mama and your daddy. And I'll bring the justice of God down on them, okay? Like, they know. Daddy don't play. Now, I play. We'll play around, but like when it's time to get, I'm strict. I had one person one time, I was at a kid's camp, and they were like, "You just went into your dad voice. I don't know what happened." And I was like, "Yeah, I'd had it up to here." You know? And just, I was done. If you've ever been a minister, you'd understand. Trust me, you go to these camps, and you're like, "Woo, I've had it." Taking you little Ewoks back to your base and leaving you there. Okay. So don't leave people to go in it by themselves. We are never supposed to be Lone Rangers. Maybe that's an older reference, but we're an older crowd in here. Okay? Like, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Yeah. Like, you need a sidekick at least, if not a whole group. Good. Like the Lord says in Proverbs that many counselors give good advice. Now, be careful who those counselors are, right? Don't cast your pearl before swine. But we need a wise counselor around us. Like, we do this in staff. We do this here in our pastoral stuff. We're like, "Hey, I had this idea. Like, what do you think? Like, let me lay it out before you." "Oh, yeah, you're right. That's not a good idea of that part of that. Maybe we should adjust that here." Like, I sometimes have great ideas, but I haven't thought them all the way out. Or there's a piece you bring to the puzzle that I needed. So we have to make sure we don't leave people to go it alone. Because here's what we do. We want to get people saved. We're like, "Oh man, you got to get saved, got to get saved, got to get saved, got to get saved, got to get saved. All right, you're saved. All right, have a good trip. Hope you figure that Christianity thing out." We've set them up to fail. Now, we don't do that here at Destiny because we're a training church. We will pour into you as much as you'll let us pour into you. But you better be careful before you ask us to pour into you, because we ain't going to hold back. Amen. If you say you want to be mentored, that means we're going to walk with you. We're going to talk with you. You know, we're going to be like Andy in the Bible. I don't know if y'all ever heard that Bible joke that's corny. You know, Andy walks with me. Andy, we're talking about the Lord, okay? In case you missed that one. But like, that's what it means. If I'm going to mentor you, we're going to be, "Let's do this." And you better be willing to open up. You better be willing to be vulnerable. You better be ready to be stretched. You better be ready to make sure that we build you up. Because I'm not here to just go to the gym and sit on the bench and watch everybody else work out. Like, this is not entertainment value right here. Are you an active player, engaged? Or are you just sitting on the sideline like a cheerleader? Because church is meant to be engaging, stretching, moving. That's what it's meant to be. Number 5, despise not small beginnings. Legacies do not start like this. Legacies start way down here. You see, some of you have been around long enough to hear me speak and the way I talk about things to know some of my personality traits. I have always been that, like, for spiritual words, we'll say entrepreneurship. You know, like, I've got that spirit about me sometimes. Really, I just like to try and make those get-rich-quick schemes, kind of, you know. We're talking about satanic ways, but pyramid schemes, you know, all those weird things. So, but I've always had that gist about me. I'm like, "Man, how can I like turn this into a quick flip?" Like, that's always been me. So here was me as a kid. We'd go to the Dollar Movie Theater in Mobile. Some of you may not know what that is, but that's where we'd go. And I would run down the line of all the phones that actually hung on the wall for all our younger kids. There was phones that hung on the wall. And I'd, and then I'd run back the other way to check all the change things. Because I'd hit the little thing to make sure nobody left any quarters or dimes in there. Yeah. When we went to the store, I'd ride on the bottom of the buggy and I would look under the aisles. I got my fingers run over a couple times because of that. Because I was like, "I'm going to find me some money." You know, like, that's what I did. But here's the thing. And I would find money. I found some change. But one time, okay, we were in the underwear section. The Lord can work in the underwear section, okay? I'm telling you. My mama's like, "What are you doing over there?" And I'm like climbing through the racks, like looking for stuff. And I pop out and she's like, "What do you got right there?" And I hold up a crisp $100 bill. What? I was like, I didn't say this because I was only like 9 years old. But spiritually later, I understood this principle. I was like, despise not small beginnings. I started off finding dimes and quarters and nickels. But I relentlessly sought after. And I found money. That was big time. Because when I grew up, that was all you got for Christmas or birthday. $100, that was it. You can spend it how you want. You can get what presents you want, but that's all you're getting. You knew the budget. Just saying. Maybe some of us need to figure that out today instead of getting kids ATVs for Easter. I'm preaching on a whole other subject over here. I got my own soapbox, okay? But so many times, here's what we do. We're like, oh, that's just a nothing right there. I don't know what the Lord can do with that. Talking about the widow's mites. Don't despise what the Lord's given you already or the little small beginning that you're just starting out with. Because here's the thing. No matter how small it is, my God doesn't care how small it is. He created it all. And if the Lord says, let it multiply, it's going to multiply. I might just have a little jar of oil. And the Lord's like, hey, go get all the vessels you can find. Because you're about to leave a legacy. Y'all know that story?
Yep.
Only problem was she quit collecting vessels. We don't know if it had ever stopped if she'd have just told the kids to, hey, y'all just go keep getting them, keep bringing them. Don't ever stop. I'm just going to keep here, sit here and keep filling. We don't know. That might have been passed down from generation to generation. This is the never-ending oil. You know, it just keeps going. Like so many times we want to look at something and be like, oh, the Lord can't do anything with that. Don't despise those little things. Don't despise those little things. We talked about some of the greats, right? We talked about C.S. Lewis. I mentioned them all. Let me give you some other names. Because I know all of you know all these names. Mordecai Ham. Berta. Man, I want that name. Mary Body. Florence Hamilton. Mr. Holman. Who knows who those are? Man, not a person in the place. Wonder why that is. Because we don't historically pump them up. Every single one of those people were the reasons every single one of the people on the first list received salvation. Without them, we wouldn't have the great legacy that we think of. But their legacy was just as important. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me. But whatever it is, he's going to build a legacy out of it. I may think, man, I wish I could have been like that. And the Lord's like, you don't understand. That right there, you got three of them that I let you be the part of that they're going to birth out. Like, I hope the next generation does far more, exceeding more than I ever did. Because if not, I'm quenching and stifling what God wants to do. The latter is going to be greater.
That's right. That's right.
My job is just to say, come on, boys. I'm going to get you there, and I'm going to let you go. Get it. I'm going to take everything I know, and I'm going to give it to you so you can learn even more, and you can pass it on and pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. Like, it's simple math. If all I do is add one, like, hey, I'm going to add one person. There's now two of us. Well, if I just add another person, now I've only got three. But if me and that person add a person, now we got four. Multiplication, right? It's simple math. I've got to pass it on so that they can pass it on so that we explode exponentially. The scripture doesn't say to add to your numbers. It's talking about multiplying out, being true disciples so that I don't have to keep coming back to you and be like, man, you did it again. Come on, come here. Like, no, I want to be able to give it to you and be like, hey, now you go take that and go make more of it. Like, if I keep having to teach my kid how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and they don't get it eventually, I'll be like, we got to go see a doctor or something. Something ain't right with you. But we do the same thing in the church and Christianity. I still can't do it. I don't understand.
Come on,
we're despising because we're like, I just want to stay in my small beginning. Maybe you're the opposite of that. Instead of fearing the fact that all you have is something small, you just want to stay in it. We're not called to just stay in little things.
That's right.
We're called to be legacy givers. Here's the point. Legacy is about people you impact and influence you leave behind. Say it. Say it with me. Make sure you believe it. Legacy is about the people you impact and the influence you leave behind. When you impact people, you begin to influence their lives and you're going to leave something behind that's greater than you ever were. I tell my wife this all the time. I'm like, I don't care what you do with my body after I die. It's meaningless. It's worthless. Shoot out of a cannon. Fly it on a kite. I don't know, okay? Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm gone. I'm with the Lord. Don't bring me back to life either, okay? Don't be Smith Wigglesworth with his wife and bring her back two times. Just don't do it. I'm gone and seen the Lord. But I want to impact people so that they continue. That's my legacy. This verse in Matthew says, "You are the light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden. And no one lights a lamp and puts it under a clay pot. Instead, it's placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house." Yeah. Why do we light our lights and then we're like, hold on. I'm just going to keep this.
Good.
Just hey, you want to know about Jesus? See him? Get a little flicker like, shh, don't tell anybody. I've got Jesus. I've got Spirit. No, we're like, there it is. If you got a problem with it, you can deal with it. That's what we should be. I am not going to apologize for my faith. You got an issue with it? Let's talk it out. I'll be sincere. I'll be wholehearted. I'll be nice as I can be. But that ain't my rub. If you're offended with it, that's on you. Because you know what offends me? Offended people. I'm being real, though. Like, honestly. Like, I don't like people who get offended. So why are you getting offended? Like, this ain't got to be a thing. We can still love each other, no matter if we're on polar opposite sides. Some of my best friends have polar opposite beliefs. But I still love them. Now, if they want to know something and they ask me directly, I'm going to tell them what my faith says. If you don't want to hear it, don't ask. It's as plain and simple as that. But I'm going to live my life according to my faith. I'm going to live it out for the whole world to see because I'm leaving a legacy. Maybe I need to say that again. I'm living it out for the whole world to see because I'm leaving a legacy. Yeah. You have got to see it to leave it.
Come on, man. That's good.
Because if you're ashamed of God in front of others, he's going to be ashamed of you in front of them too.
Yeah.
Ain't no one done great things for Christ behind closed doors. Now, the prayer team, okay, they do things behind closed doors because they pray. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to take some action behind that too.
That's right.
Like, we build up some faith in there because sometimes I need some encouragement. Like, I got to get away with the Lord and I'm like, hey, Lord, you need to encourage me and pump me up because I ain't feeling this right now. I'd be speaking in tongues, muttering in Walmart because we know Walmart's full of Satan. You know, woo. I would go to Target, but this one's not as good as the one in Westmobile. Okay. So, we've got to make sure our light shines so the legacy can be left. Let this thought sink in for a minute. Drink this in. You don't have to be anything more than what God wants you in order to leave a powerful legacy. That's all you got to do. Just be what God wants you to be, and you'll leave a powerful legacy. He's not asking you to be the next whoever you think is the most super high spiritual person. I don't know who that may be for you. If it's Stephen Furtick, Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, C.S. Lewis, A.W. Tozier, you know, George Mueller, whoever that is, you're like, man, that's the pinnacle. He's like, just be you. And if you'll do that, the legacy will take care of itself. If you'll just do that, you'll leave a legacy that's so great. I honestly believe this to be true. I know it does not say this in Scripture. Okay, somebody can strike me down later for it, okay? I'll take some lashes. But I honestly believe that one of the greatest things when we get to the kingdom of heaven is going to be people coming up to you and be like, man, let me tell you how you impacted my life. And I may be so estranged, you'd be like, wait, what? Hold on a second. Let me connect the dots. You're telling me because I gave $50 to that missionary that was going to Haiti that your life got changed because of that, and you're trying to give me some of the credit? They're like, yes. Because he would have ran out of gas that day if you hadn't given it. Like, there's going to be some things, a legacy that's just so amazing that I don't know if you can cry in heaven, but I feel like there's going to be some tears of joy for the people's lives that are be changed. And I'm going to be meted at the gates with just people like, let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you how you changed, how you affected me, how your legacy is living on in the earth, how my children did this, whatever it may be. Some of that we get to receive here on earth. I've had people tell me, they're like, man, I remember you did this and whatever. And I'm like, you cared about that? I've had people tell me, like, man, that was the most amazing word I've ever heard. And I'm like, man, I thought I preached horrible. Like, I felt like the Spirit of God was nowhere in the room. But the Lord says, as long as I do it, it doesn't return void.
That's right.
That I don't have to do anything else but follow after him and do what he asks. And he's like, I'll take care of it. So how do you create a legacy? You do those steps. You establish your faith walk. You're intentional in who you seek out to be the next. You aim to build it as God desires. You never leave people alone or to go it alone. And you don't despise what the small beginnings may be in your life and what continues to grow. So last things right here. How do you apply this? Do we want to give you practical steps? It's great if you get some scriptural, biblical knowledge, some stuff like that. But like, we like to challenge you here at Destiny to live this out. Because I've been to church long enough that I know when people are like, yep, that was great and they're wonderful. And then they go eat on a Sunday and they forget everything that they heard. They don't do anything about it. Here's the first one. Start taking small steps to become the spiritual legacy you want the next generation to have. Just small steps. It's great if you have a big dream, but you have to take bite-sized steps that you know you can accomplish. Because here's what they do. They build upon each other. Y'all familiar with the phrase leap of faith? Did you know that's really not very scriptural? You know what the Bible says? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. I'm just taking a step, God. If you'll just show me the next step right there, I'll take it. Okay, God. Just show me that next one and the next one. Because honestly, here's the thing. If you knew everything God was calling you to do and the places he wanted you to be and all the things he wanted you to change and overcome, like, it would frighten you. If you'd have told me when I was 12 years old that this was going to happen or that was going to happen, I'd have been like, yep, not doing that. Forget that. I'm running the other way. But I was just like, I've received the Lord, and I'm willing to take that step. And when I got that step done, the Lord said, okay, now take that step. Begin to take those little steps that you know are going to lead to spiritual legacy. Because here's the thing. Most of the time, we know what they are. Let's be honest. We don't need a bunch of hoorah and a deep spiritual prayer to figure out what it is. We just need to act upon it. And if you don't know what it is, and I'll give y'all a little hint, a little secret, okay? And it took me a while to figure this one out. So y'all are getting something that it took me years to understand. If you're not hearing something from the Lord, like you're praying, because I've done this before. I'm earnestly praying, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And he's like, you didn't do the last thing I told you to do. Why am I going to tell you something else? And I was like, okay. Like, my kids, they come to me, like, daddy, I need, and I'm like, you didn't do the first thing. Go back and do the first thing, and then I'll tell you something else.
Yeah, that's good.
Take the small steps. The second thing, partner with the vision here at Destiny. Just partner with us. Take in the vision of Destiny and partner with it. Whether that's DKA, whether it's volunteering. Here's the thing, guys, we need volunteers in all kinds of our different departments still. Like, we want to leave a legacy so the next generation buys into it even more. For the next people up, buy into it even more. Do your part to leave a legacy. Buy into the very vision that we cast here. We're not just standing up here because we, you know, feel like it, because, you know, we get paid to, but it's because we truly love every single one of you. And we're like, man, I love them so much. I wish they would. I want to see them grow. We want the very best. Like Pastor Rife said, one of his goals is, like, he wants you to be the best you can be. And I think as a pastor, like, that's one of the things we all kind of want. Like, I feel like that goes with that pastoral calling. Like, yeah, we're herding the sheep sometimes. Like, whoo, you know, I've heard it said, you know, I don't want to be a pastor because the sheep bite too many times. They're hard-headed. They don't know what they're doing, okay? But I'm just as much a sheep as everyone else when it comes to the spiritual father, because I know he's been hurting me and knocking my head a couple times. Like, what are you doing over there? Don't go to that water hole. But partner with us, because here's the thing. If you really call this your house, then you've got to do what the spiritual fathers say, the spiritual leaders. Not saying that we know it all, not saying that, you know, we're the best, but the Lord has placed us as pastorals to say, hey, this is where we're going. This is the vision. This is where we need. Because here's the thing about that. The scripture clearly says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish.